Our New Testament reading for this morning comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, in which we hear this word. I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers. I am thankful for all of you every time I pray, and it's always a prayer full of joy. I'm glad because of the way you have been my partners in the ministry of the gospel from the time you first believed it until now. I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job by the day of Christ Jesus. I have good reason to think this way about all of you because I keep you in my heart. You are all my partners in God's grace, both during my time in prison and in the defense and support of the gospel. God is my witness that I feel affection for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God. Friends, the word of the Lord. I have to ask my wife's forgiveness at the beginning of this message because I'm going to talk about her in my message, and I didn't tell her that before the service started, so I apologize. It's not something I normally do. I don't like to put people on the spot, but it's important that I share this story. You see, 3 years ago, on our way home from church, my wife Judy hit a patch of ice on the road about a half a mile from the house we lived at that time. Judy spun out, and she hit a tree with the back of the car. And then the car had so much momentum that it spun again, and it finally came to rest with the front end of the car jammed against another tree. Now, in God's timing, a parishioner at that time, Ed Blank, came out of his house to check on his horses. And he looked down the road, and he saw Judy. And so he came to her aid. And in a short while, emergency personnel were on the scene, and Judy was taken by ambulance to Strong West Emergency Department in Brockport, New York. Now, I was at Berry Center Presbyterian Church near Albion, New York, doing training with the elders and deacons at the time that the accident happened. And we were down in the basement fellowship hall, and I was summoned to the kitchen by Ed Blank, who told me what had happened. And then he offered to drive me to the emergency department where Judy had been taken. Complicating this accident was the fact that Judy had had major surgery on her neck and spine just 2 months before the accident. That surgery was still healing. So in addition to any injuries that might ordinarily occur as a result of an accident, my worry was that the accident might cause additional complications for the healing of Judy's surgery. Well, anyway, that's what I was thinking about and worrying about, I have to admit, when I turned from the church kitchen to go back into the fellowship hall to gather my books and my coat and head out with Ed to the emergency department. But as I was walking back into the fellowship hall, one of the deacons, Mitzi Peglo, said to me, "We've already been praying for you and Judy." And hearing that, I relaxed and I felt at peace. And I knew that it was going to be all right. Not that the damage to the vehicle would just be magically erased, or that Judy wouldn't be feeling sore, but I knew that Judy would not suffer any major injuries or complications involving her neck surgery as a result of that car accident. And in fact, Judy was being checked out of that medical center, and she was calling me as that she was being released as Ed and I were still on our way over there. It was only about a 20-minute drive. Our car had been totaled, and by rights, that accident should have produced so much more in the way of injuries. But I believe that God heard the prayers of our elders and deacons and protected Judy that day. And I believe the timing was not a coincidence. I believe that God spared Judy because of the prayers of the elders and deacons. None of us will ever know until we get to heaven how many times we were delivered from danger because someone prayed for us. My hope and desire for each of us is that we become more confident in our prayer life, in the power and in our own practice of prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, there are three main things that you should do. First, you learn to pray by praying. That's the most basic step. You just open your mouth and start talking to God. If you come to God in Jesus' name with a sincere heart, God will not turn you away. Second, you learn to pray by listening to others as they pray. Just listen as others pray, and soon you'll know how to pray yourself. You learn by doing and by listening. And another way to learn how to pray is by studying the great prayers in the Bible. There are many wonderful prayers in the Bible, but there's an overlooked treasury of spiritual truth to be found in the prayers of the Apostle Paul in his letters to the various Christian churches. These are prayers that Paul included in his letter to the Philippians, his letter to the Colossians, the Ephesians, and the Thessalonians. Today we're beginning a series of messages on prayer. And this series is a journey through some of the most significant prayers that the great Apostle Paul prayed. These prayers of Paul will challenge us to go both broader and deeper when we pray for others. Now, praying for others is often called intercessory prayer. Sometimes, well, okay, let's be honest, all too often, perhaps, we may view intercessory prayer as a burden or even a distraction from the real work of life. But nothing could be further from the truth. Our God is greatly honored when we take time to pray for others. And by our prayers, we help those for whom we pray. And we also bring glory to our Heavenly Father. When our puny arm is linked to the mighty arm of God's omnipotence, miracles are let loose on the earth. Through intercessory prayer, we partner with God in helping those in need. Now, the thought of partnering with God is an exciting concept. It means that when we are on our knees, literally or figuratively, we can make contact with the most powerful force in the universe. As we pray, our motives are purified, our faith is strengthened, and our hearts are focused on eternal things. When we pray, we're in touch with the Almighty God Himself, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And through our halting words and stumbling petitions, we join hands with God to bless others and to advance the cause of Jesus Christ in the world. And the Holy Spirit aids us in linking up with the heart of God when we don't know what to pray. The Apostle Paul said it this way in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. He said, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. By prayer, we are knocking holes in the darkness and we're rolling back Satan's evil dominion. And that's why one writer once wrote, "The devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." The devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. We experience heightened joy as we see our prayers being answered. We can thank God for that. I've got two goals in mind for presenting the series of messages on prayer. One is I hope to encourage you to pray more intentionally for other people. Now, I suppose most of us pray for others from time to time, and yet we're often stymied because we don't know what to say. Well, the prayers of the Apostle Paul give us models. They meet us precisely at that point and show us the things that we can pray about or give us an idea of what we can pray or how we can pray. Sometimes they even help us to find the very words to say. Second thing is I hope to encourage you to pray more intentionally with other people. There is enormous power unleashed when believers come together to seek the Lord. In this mini-series, if you will, each message covers a single prayer by the Apostle Paul. And I won't try to cover every prayer Paul prayed. Instead, I'm going to focus on those prayers that present different aspects of the Christian life. And also, you'll discover as we go along that these messages are not a commentary on every aspect in these prayers. As we work through these prayers of the Apostle Paul that we find in the New Testament, we're going to find quickly that Paul did not pray random prayers that wandered from here to there with no rhyme or reason. Paul always had only one major thought in mind for each prayer. That is, he prayed for one main thing, and one main thing only in Philippians chapter 1, and that one thing was different from what he prayed for in Colossians chapter 1 or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example. My goal will be accomplished only if this series of messages on prayer helps you pray more effectively. So that's why we're going to focus on the key thought of each prayer. That's also why we're going to pass over some of the secondary details of each prayer. Each message will be based on the prayer as we find it in the New Testament. And each prayer will be reinforced with a rewording in contemporary English to help you put Paul's words into your own words. I'll print the prayer and the contemporary rewording of that prayer in the bulletin each week, and to give you a sample of what I'm talking about, you'll find those items in today's bulletin. Don't settle for second best, especially not in your prayer life. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, the prayers of the Apostle Paul will help you take another step in the right direction. They show us how to pray. And if we listen to them carefully, they'll also make us want to pray. That's been my experience, and I hope it will be yours as well. In fact, let's pray right now. Holy Spirit, guide us as we begin an adventure in learning how to pray with more confidence, how to pray with more depth, how to pray with more effectiveness, how to pray with more boldness, that we might become a greater blessing, even as we ourselves have been blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.